All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, I have not yet been able to save up enough money to buy a house, but what I have done is buy a yard.
Ooh, you get all of the inconvenience of owning a house with none of the shelter benefits.
Yeah, it's awful. And yards in general, I think, are lousy.
Of course.
You know, maintenance. I don't think they look good. They're bad for the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Take up a lot of water. So instead of doing that, what we're going to do is we're going to seed this yard I have here with wildflowers.
Ooh.
What I've done is I have written the name of a game on the very DNA of this handful of seeds. We're going to throw this handful of seeds into the dirt. And then after it rains, after, you know, a few months, we'll see what grows. And whichever stock is the highest will be the game that we do. Once it's time to come to home to roost.
Low maintenance. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm happy we decided. I'm happy we decided to work this to start working on this months ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Or we'll just time lapse.
Oh yeah.
The now that we can do that. The in real life, I do love a non grass yard.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
There's tons of them in Portland, like gravel or wildflowers or something like that.
Let's yeah, I wish it was practical for where I'm at.
Yeah, it's just it's yard suck.
Mm-hmm.
So let's throw this handful of seeds out, and then we'll come back.
Yeah.
All right, and look at this array of miscellaneous.
Ooh, very pretty, very pretty. That tallest one though is kind of fucked up.
Yeah, let's go check it out. Let's go harvest that bad boy.
Okay.
All right. Oh, you can see here written on the stamen of this plant. You can see harvester.
Oh, game computer. Yeah. Oh, we're gonna talk about harvester. Neat.
Yeah, I want to play this game.
Me too.
So it's gonna be an irritating episode of Abject Suffering. Buckle up. This is gonna suck. My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
Welcome to Abject Suffering. My juicy pink body is filled with dread. I sweat with terror till it's time for bed.
Appropriate for this episode. We're talking about Harvester. This is a 1996 PC game, and this is a patron demand. This is Eric, whose only comment on it is pretty gross, huh?
There's some gross stuff in this, but like, it seems real good to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would like to play this game. So there you go.
So there we go. Later,
we've done it.
We've done it. Yeah. This is one of those things that I kind of file under. You could only get away with this on the PC.
Oh yeah.
There was outcry about the violence, but it was relatively muted compared to, say, Mortal Kombat, which was, you know, in arcades, like you go to a place and watch somebody get their head and whole spine ripped out, and that'd be weird and bad to some folks. And you could get it in the arcade, but the PC, anything goes. Oh, nobody's paying attention to this. So you can get like weird off-color jokes about an STD where it makes you bleed down the leg.
Very similar to like a like you run into this sometimes on the Philips CDI and Sega CD and shit like that sometimes too, with like your plumbers don't wear ties kind of risque FMV style games. This is a point and click adventure game that has a really surreal tone that I think is going to be very difficult to describe in a way that doesn't make it sound like the worst version of what it could be.
Yes.
You know, like, I think there's actually something here that is more than just like distasteful.
Yeah. This is not like it's not like an ICP video game, right?
Yes. Or like the Rednecks video game.
Oh yeah.
Or like, you know, panty slapper, you know, pussy prison to ass girls. Like, it's not distasteful in that way. It's like the number one example of a weird thing in this game, and it's a famous weird thing in this game, that I think is a little bit more than the description is there's an army general you run into, and he's been bisected. He's just a torso and up. And he talks about, when you ask him about losing his legs, he talks about how the human digestive system is 3 miles long. When he was crawling for freedom after his bottom half got blown off, he would crawl for 3 miles and have to wind his intestines back up and shove them back in. And he was using it to mark 3 mile increments. So he was 3 miles closer to freedom every time he did it.
Yeah.
And he says it with like just utmost confidence as this little torso man you're talking to.
Uh-huh.
And like, that's kind of weird and evocative.
It is.
And like, kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's really surreal. And just everyone around you playing this straight and just saying and doing the weirdest shit.
Yeah.
Really contributes to this, you know, the concept of this game of you being trapped in weirdo world.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit like a Sanitarium, but without the even that much setup.
Yeah, it's like a more surreal kind of like winking at you, like a cross between Sanitarium and Phantasmagoria, or Phantasmagoria 2. Yeah, it's got a real kind of vibe to it, where everything is just incredibly off and salacious, and violence, profound violence, is done with a huge amount of like casualness. Right. The thing that stuck out for me, because, you know, we don't dedicate a lot of time to playing these. I also want to play this. This seems like a good candidate for streaming, actually. But the things that stuck
out. I was going to say we should throw it on WoF.
Oh, we should.
Like, I want to play it too. And then we can, you know, it's been a minute since we've done a point and click.
Yes.
It'll definitely be fascinating. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's meant to be a very good game in terms of puzzles and stuff, but it's really interesting.
Well, I mean, it's a point and click game with a combat engine. So
yeah, that's never good. And they constantly try that.
Yeah.
So,
but just, you know, so I ended up watching like a highlight video, you know, showing some of the cutscenes and stuff like that. The wasp lady, you know, who's like sitting at that table, and, you know, her upper half is like the socialite lady and her bottom half is like the back of a wasp. Okay. And, you know, like her dialogue describing like, oh, bees are collectivists. They're industrial. The wasp is a hedonistic creature. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't have the, you know, the altruistic one sting. Instead, it keeps on stabbing like the paroxysms of an ejaculating male. You know, each welt on your skin is a thrust of passion, is what she says. Yeah. Like, that is like a trashier Clive Barker. is what it comes across like to me.
That's a great trashier Clive Barker is a really good description for this whole thing.
And I can get down with that real hard.
I ended up reading the synopsis of this, so I know the twist.
Uh-huh.
And I wish I didn't, because it's pretty cool. I think as an explanation for why this is happening.
Yes.
You know, and I have a affection for you know, games or media where there's just a normal guy, and you're in a town where everybody's acting weird.
Yeah.
You know, there are degrees of it, and it's really elevated in this. It's not Twin Peaks where people are subtly off.
Yeah.
Like, people are extremely off.
People have themes. Like it's a whole town full of Eddie Dombrowskis.
Yes. I love the sheriff and the deputy who can't stop masturbating, and the sheriff who like beats him with a rolled up newspaper like a dog
to the point where he even howls like a hit dog.
Yeah, like it's just very weird. It's a game that you a shallow reading of this would make it sound like something I would not like, because it's horny.
Uh huh.
But it's not. The game is not horny.
Yeah.
The game contains multiple different pathologies of what it is to be horny.
Yes. It's almost explicitly like the a commentary or trying to portray like, what if sex and violence were, you know, inherently tied up together, which is a real Clive Barker kind of thing, right?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Like, a Cenobite would love this world. This is what Cenobites have instead of video games.
Yeah. Yeah. But also like, so it's the town full of weirdos, and then the person who's out of it, like your character, the person you play, is like this teenager who just wakes up in this house with a mom he doesn't remember and a little brother that he doesn't remember. And he's in this like twisted 1950s suburban Midwestern kind of parody. Right. and everybody's, mm-hmm. you know, talking like, oh, you're engaged, you know, to this beautiful high school sweetheart of yours that he doesn't remember. But she also is somebody who's been sucked into this, who has rapidly lost the memory of the world outside like him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so like him just saying like, why are you acting like this? And, you know, or like saying like, I have no idea what you're saying. And the fact that it always responds with, oh, you've always been a kidder. Like,
I get very Kafka-esque.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of just nobody being able to give him a straight and very Lynchian, obviously.
Yeah.
Even though like the stuff in this is way more elevated.
Yeah.
Than that. The company made this game. I can only find one other game that has a Wikipedia link that they made, which is The Fortress of Dr. Radiaki, which looks fucking rad as hell. Also,
well, it's a first person shooter. Huh?
You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll kill everything that moves. It's the kind of special happiness you'll only find in The Fortress of Dr. Radiaki.
I want to learn more about Dr. Radiaki.
I need to know a lot about Dr. Radiaki.
It's a Doom clone, which is a bit disappointing, but it's a Doom clone that seems to have FMV cutscenes. So
yeah, and it got good reviews for having an offbeat sense of weirdness.
Yeah,
which it looks like it does, and so does this game.
Yeah,
so viva.
Well, like there's a quote on the Wikipedia, and it's one of the only things I could really find about the development of this. But where they said like, yeah, we were a small company, we didn't really have like the resources to like compete on this technical level with larger studios that just had more to them. So we needed to aim high. Like we wanted to go conceptual with it. So that's why we took the big swings that we did. You know, we could only like film the FMB stuff in this back warehouse of the, you know, that we had access to, but we were going to swing for the fences. And I really admire that, actually.
I do too. Especially from this era of early and mid 90s PC adventure games.
Mm-hmm.
I have tons of affection for this because there's a lot of games like this.
Yeah.
At the time, what is it? Bloodnet.
Oh yeah, we did that. We did an episode about Bloodnet.
Yep. Bloodnet's one of them, and then the one where you're a cockroach.
Mm-hmm. Bad Mojo.
Also, Bad Mojo. Like it's just a weird, awesome Wild West period.
Yeah.
For like sometimes a little bit skeevy, but skeevy in an interesting way.
Yeah.
Video games.
Well, I always get this mixed up with another one. Have you heard of Ripper?
I have heard of Ripper.
Yeah, the one with Christopher Walken.
I've heard of all adventure games because I've read the
because you've read the book. Yeah, so that's the adventure thing.
Game in like a textbook twice. We're both
read up on this because of that incredibly good book. I wish that they did that. They have made another one that was about something that I am interested in.
All the rest of them are all like Konami shooters.
Yeah.
And shit. Just, like, yeah,
at SNK Fighters from 1994 to 1995. It's like, Kurt,
fuck off.
Kurt, I'm really sorry, but no.
Yeah. You have, like one really interesting, one interest I share, Kurt. The Castlevania book they put out is okay.
Okay. Oh, I read that one. I got that to do prep for, we did the live episode about Castlevania. That was years ago.
The problem with that book is that it's stuff that is too well covered.
Yeah.
Like those games are really popular. The reason why the adventure game book works really well, and then also the bitmap books, CRPG and JRPG books.
Yeah.
Is because there are enough entries that you're going to see weird shit you never heard of.
Yeah. Like I'm not going to read a lot of coverage about Tecmo's Secret of the Stars. And even with the overly exuberant tone that book takes about JRPGs, to hear them say like, yeah, this game isn't justified to exist. There's no reason for it.
No, but it's just interesting to see. Like, I treasure those so much.
Yeah.
Like those books. Do you have a copy of, this is just us talking as friends now.
Yeah, that's fine.
We're no longer making content. do you have the games that weren't?
I do. That's so good. Yeah.
That's also really, really good.
Yeah.
Bitmap books, man.
Fuck, like, man. I like anything that seems applicable. The history of Mac gaming, they put out the new edition of that. There's so much weird stuff that just like never broke, like never really hit the second wind that a lot of PC stuff did because of the DOS box, like old, like specifically black and white Macintosh stuff just didn't hit the emulation and like reproduction phase. So there's stuff that just doesn't necessarily exist to like access anymore.
I didn't know about that one. Mm-hmm. That is one of those companies that, and this is going to be exhibit like D in the canceling of Gary Butterfield in the future when it turns out the people behind this are bad.
Right.
Who knows? I hope that's not true.
Yeah.
But as of now, the quality they've put into their stuff is so impressive to me that I'll basically like pick up anything they've done.
I'll make another one. Another recommendation, the SNES Pixelbook that they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a copy of that. That's great.
Yeah.
The art from Graphic Adventures is also very good.
Mm-hmm.
The art books are really nice. They're very easy. The textbooks are, you know, the ones that are compendiums.
Yeah.
Encyclopedias are just absolutely transcendent though.
Yeah.
And the adventure game book, which is not that, but is may as well.
Yeah. Tons of interviews in that and the point and click adventure game, art book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's mostly that, same thing with the games that weren't is mostly interviews and stuff, but it's interesting because it's like games that got canceled and stuff.
Yeah.
Shit's awesome. It's I don't know if this we're recording this right after we recorded the Unfilmable on the Video Dead. But maybe I'm just in like a very receptive mood right now to a very specific kind of ineptitude.
Maybe.
But like playing this morning and reading about it, all I could think was like, man, this looks awesome.
What
happens if I retired and I played all these fucking games?
Like, it'd be pretty cool. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're not that long.
No. And they're frustrating, but adventure games are awesome when they're frustrating because you can just look up how to get past the thing or just save scum your way through that shitty combat engine.
Yeah. Like
you can't really get stuck in adventure games.
You're fine. You're good to go. Yeah.
No. Good stuff. Fucking weird ass game. The intestine thing, reading about him reeling his intestines over 3 miles.
Yeah.
Made me think about when we were talking about Teardown and how you get that family circus comic. And what if that line was Jeffy's intestine?
Oh no, poor Jeffy.
Jeffy was just in the grandpa. That's why grandpa's always trying to get the other ghost to look at his son, his grandson. Because his intestine is trailing behind him throughout the whole neighborhood.
Are you seeing this shit?
Like, that's my boy.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I think that it'd be pretty bad. I think that they'd have real trouble putting Jeffy back together again. I think that Jeffy, there would be an empty chair at Jeffy's graduation.
Yeah. Well, other than grandpa's chair. I think they always, like whenever they have a recital or something, there's 2 empty chairs where the ghosts sit.
That's true. Huh.
Yeah.
Is that like a weird interpolation thing where it's just the 2 ghost chairs and the ghosts, you know, all ghosts can sit in those chairs, but you only see the ghosts that are related to you?
Okay. I was thinking that those are just 2 chairs that if people, humans, try to sit in there, they get possessed or haunted. Like it's a SCP. Like you can't go in that chair because it's for the ghosts.
Right. You're gonna get a passenger if you sit there. Yeah. So you know, at least know what you're signing up for.
You're gonna be ghosted like the movie Ghost.
Yeah.
You know, like take you over.
Oh gosh.
Can you imagine how horrifying it'd be to be possessed by Jeffy's grandpa?
Oh, just like you would immediately get caught for stalking that kid.
Yeah. You're like, hey, how's it going, Jeffy? Like, sit on grandpa's lap and be like, well,
no, I wish I could stop you. Like that might have flown a while ago, but not now.
Grandpa. Do you think that's what happened to Freddy Krueger? Was he was possessed by Jeffy's grandpa and was just trying to,
connect
with his grandchildren?
Was outmoded ways. That's dark.
That is pretty dark. I made that pretty dark there. Did you see it got erased? Did you see the when it was going around Twitter, the Family Circus Mother's Day comic?
What is it? Where the cat was like,
yes.
Oh, okay, there we go.
Let me describe this shit to listeners. Okay?
Yes, do it.
Fucking Bill Kane. Jeffy and his horrible little brother, and like there are more Jeffys than I ever thought because there are 4 kids. I didn't know there are this many kids. Runs to the mom and goes, happy Mother's Day. Mom is hugging all of her children, says, I hope every mother has a happy as a is happy as today as I am. We cut over to their cat in the window,
mm-hmm.
who is looking out the window sadly, and the cat has a thought bubble thinking about all of its kittens.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad says, I guess it's time to find good homes for the kitty cat's little brood. End comic.
Hey, what? Bill. Hey, Mr. Keen. Yeah. Excuse me. Sorry. Cole Ross, DuckFeed.tv. Thank you for asking. Thank you for coming to me. what's your stance here? What's your deal? What you trying to convey? You shouldn't adopt out the kittens?
So Jessica, my lovely little baby girl, was a teen mom at one point. And I try not to think about her having had her kittens because it makes me incredibly sad.
Oh, Dottie.
Mother's Day, I got very sad about my mom.
Okay.
And then I got really sad about Jessica never seeing her kittens again. And then I got real sad about Pocket never meeting his mom again.
Uh-huh.
And the whole thing really fucking wrecked me a little bit in a way that is nonsense.
Yeah. Like
real fake material. You know?
It's good God. Yeah. I think about that with Dottie all the time because Dottie was born as a litter of barn cats, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, the mom stopped taking care of them super early. And so it's like, okay, they got to go out. So I got a hold of her at, 4 weeks, which is way too early to get a hold of a kitten. Like, I didn't expect that I was going to be getting something I needed to bottle feed every few hours. I didn't know that I would have to like microwave a thing so that she could rest on it to regulate her temperature, you know? Yeah.
Like, she's gonna get a broccoli and cheese bad boy and let her rest on it like a little pillow.
Yep. Well, she would rest on my feet, when she was super little, she would just lay on top of my feet like a little baked potato. just when I was sitting in the, she would rest on top of my feet like a little baked potato when I was sitting at the computer, and she would suckle at my sock.
Oh,
and you know, I only moved her over to the other sock, to the other foot when her saliva made the sock so wet that it made my ankle cold. So it's like, all right, gonna put you over here on a dry one. Here you go. Yep. Keep on going, little baby.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, but
thanks to Bill Kane, we have to think about them losing their families.
Yeah, you know, like I can go visit. I can go visit Dottie's mom. You know, they look very similar to each other. But like, no, that fucked me up because. You know, you get a kitten and sometimes they cry and it's like, okay, it's crying for me, but is it like, does it miss its mom? And the answer is probably not. It just wants warmth and comfort and food, right?
Well, yeah. Who can tell?
Who can tell? Yeah. But also, like, Bill is
a newspaper comic does presuppose that it misses its children.
Yeah. Bill Kane is kind of, hypothesizing about an inaccurate family bond, which is once kittens are like old enough to go, they go and the parents let them go and they have a new litter.
Yeah. Yeah. The kittens, they're like my dad. They just started a new franchise. they're not. So, very fucking funny.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Excuse me, level.
What are you trying to say, sir? So they tried to scrub that. They tried to get rid of it.
They didn't scrub the comic because it was printed in newspapers and stuff.
Okay.
The person who went kind of viral tweeting it.
Okay.
Erased the tweet.
Oh yeah, I can get that if they got too much because it probably started an argument in their mentions and it's like no fuck you,
yeah. Which so when I retweeted it, somebody's like I didn't even get to see this, they went away, and then I was like I'm not gonna take up the mantle of stewarding this, even though I did save a copy of the comic because incredible,
amazing. Yeah, that was going around and I shared my favorite family circle, which is when people were doing edits of family circle comics family circus. I get confused because it is in the circle, it's always in a circle on the camera, yeah, as the panel, but family circus, but they changed the caption on the comics to be Rust Cole's dialogue from True Detective season 1. you know?
Gotcha.
So it's just Jeffy sitting exhausted on his bed with the text saying, "My life has been a cycle of degradation and violence for as long as I can remember."
Very good. Had Jeffy to smash. Like he walks across the screen creating that intestine trail and then grabs it and whips it on Mario's neck and starts groting him. You know?
Jeffy is out for blood, is what he is.
Summons his grandpa ghost to come haunt the shit out of Dr. Mario.
That's his final smash.
Yeah. Did you make the incision above or below the artery? Above or below, doctor? Can you remember? Are you sure?
Did you even care?
Yeah. Did you give him the red and blue pill or the green and red pill? Which one did you do, doctor?
Was it the red pill with a blue stripe or the blue pill with the red stripe?
Doctor Mario, how much blood is on your hands?
Dr. Mario, did you count the scalpels? Dr. Mario, are all the forceps accounted for? Did you seal the sponge in? Doctor?
I bet you, do you think Dr. Mario washes his hands before surgery?
Oh, no, he goes right from fucking into surgery.
Oh, great, right from fucking.
Yeah.
I thought he went right from a big pile of spaghetti or something. But that's
Well, I mean, now he's naive. What do you think he's doing with that spaghetti?
Yeah, he's just like he sticks his dick in the spaghetti and the spaghetti twirls around it like a fork.
Mm-hmm.
He just goes about his day with a spaghetti condom.
Yeah, talk about meatball, am I right?
Pasta condom. Yeah. Pasta condom's a good idea. I don't want Dr. Mario or Jeffy's grandpa.
No. Yeah. No, I can't think of it.
I wouldn't want the ghost of my grandpa to watch everything I do.
No. This is material that's been covered by my brother and me. The ghosts of your relatives watching you masturbate.
Okay. But not the ghosts of Jeffy's relatives?
No. So we're good. We're good there. He would really pass judgment. He would just the cretinous way in which I live my life would not meet Jeffy's grandpa's standards. I don't believe.
Mm-hmm. It's what makes Stardew Valley so funny. you're the ghost of your grandpa and come back and tell you you're a huge disappointment.
All right. Your farm shit. You haven't made any money. You don't have any friends. I was expecting great grandkids. Yeah.
Yep, you got this mushroom cave? Fuck off. Yeah. Oh, you chose the bat cave? Are you a fucking idiot?
You can just find those on the ground. You
dork.
Ugh. No game facts that I can really find on this.
Definitely no game facts gold.
Yeah.
There's one fact, you know, that has a little ASCII map. Mm-hmm. Tells you how to play it, which is great, by somebody named Crash. And then there's a bunch of message board stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not noteworthy.
Right.
You know, it's basically pretty normal.
Mm-hmm. The one review of this, which wild that only has one review, you know, it's got the usual categories, you got controls, gameplay, sound, blah, blah, blah. But for gore, it gives gore 10 out of 10.
Hell yeah. In the first disc, most of the gore you'll see is trying to kill NPCs. Disc 3 is where all the combat happens and you get the gory. It reminds me of a scene in the movie, The Gore Girls.
Hmm.
If you've seen the movie, you'll know what I'm talking about. What are the Gore Girls?
What is the
Gilmore Girls?
They talk real fast.
Yeah. They talk real fast and apparently it's kind of good, but it's too late to get invested now.
Yeah. That train done took off.
1972 movie.
Rated X. Nothing has ever stripped your nerves as screamingly raw as the Gore Girls.
Oh, huh. Yeah. 2002 is Blood Feast 2, All You Can Eat.
Huh. Storyline
film.
Strippers at a sleazy club are being mutilated at an alarming rate. A pretty reporter enlists the aid of a debonair detective to solve the case and land her a front page story. Soon the two are wading through evidence against a vegetable pulverizing freak, a creepy college student, and a group of angry feminists. Oh, it's probably a horror movie about women's lib.
Yeah. The guy who does Herschel Gordon Lewis, who did this, is famous for this kind of shit.
Oh yeah.
He's like she devils on wheels and
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
No. Just exploitation stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. The Uh-Oh Show. There's just a show about a game show where when contestants get questions wrong, they get dismembered.
Ooh, I like that premise. It's real simple. Yeah. I can't imagine there being a lot of tread on those tires, but
yeah. Yeah. Kenny DeMillo is the puppet killer. I don't know. I'm feeling very receptive right now. I hope the nice thing about this coming out after we record it is no one can come to my house and sell me anything right now.
I don't know if he's dying or drunk or something, but
100% that. Like, I'm having a soft brain couple of days. I haven't slept very well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yesterday we recorded that dispatch and I feel like I was pretty meandery. Like, I got off the call and I felt like kind of ashamed.
Okay.
You know? And then today, you know, I was like doing harvest stuff. I'm like, this is Owens. Like, I'm just kind of like dead or dying or something, drug to dying or something. Now is the time. But no, anyone hearing this won't be able to take advantage of it.
Yeah, no, we've got at least 3 weeks until this comes out. So we're good.
Yeah, absolutely zero rebristlings.
I'm poking around on this guy's reviews, Akumo's reviews, and no other game has a gore category.
Akuma,
come on.
Yeah. Boy, no thanks.
No, thank you.
Mass Effect Andromeda. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
My understanding is that game isn't as bad as people say it is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just is a weird thing to come out swinging for it.
Yeah.
Given rating 10 out of 10.
Oh, wow. Huh.
Is your understanding that it's a 10 out of 10 perfect game?
I think maybe he's getting a little out of control there. I think maybe that's, yeah. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. No, it doesn't even have a gore category for Postal 3. So only Harvester gets the, gets that particular honor.
Bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is very, very gory.
Mm-hmm.
So, Boy, what else? Anything else going on?
What else is in the news? What's happening? No, let's not do that. Let's not look at the news. Dear God, no. Like,
news isn't good.
No. But we're at time. We don't need to prolong this.
No, we're good. I think I mentioned this just real quick, just because somebody else, you'll relate to this. I mentioned in the last episode or before we started recording. Uh-huh. People listening to this will relate to it as well. Pocket puked twice in the night and I can't find it.
Oh, no.
I heard it, but I don't know where it's at.
Yeah.
That's a fun and mine that's in my house somewhere.
So at least if you haven't seen it, it's not going to be in a place that you're likely to like step on, right?
Yes.
If
it's a hidden secret.
So it'll be behind something or it will be under something. I've definitely,
and this is, yeah.
I've cleaned up my fair share of payloads from beneath the bed.
I was gonna ask you about this, or whether this makes me seem real gross, is that I find those sometimes and they're really, really desiccated. Like, I obviously miss them for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, cats hide when they're sick, you know?
Yeah.
Like
I feel gross about just like letting there be standing cat puke,
but
in my house, but at the same time, like, you know, I'm not trying to find it. I just don't want to move out. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to put all my furniture on the lawn to try to
get a
hold of this pile.
You know, you're not going to, like, you're only going to do, like, you know, I only do, like, a big furniture move if I rearrange, or, like, once a year I'll move stuff out to do, like, baseboard cleaning, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, deep clean, get in the corners and stuff like that. But, like, if it's under a bed, you know, I'm not looking under my bed. Like, I don't store stuff down there. So it's, you know, kind of hard to see. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, depending on where it is, but like, I don't know. I think the bigger danger is like, what if they try and eat it? But, you know, if it's dry, then you're probably fine.
Yeah. And it's not like I can't smell it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not cat puke weirdly, like, has a smell, but it's not cat pee. Like, it's not absolutely odious emergency level.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Looking forward to that. So that'll ruin my mood. Like, right now I'm very receptive and you could sell me anything and I'll rebristle whatever you like. And then eventually I'm going to step in a surprise pile of cat puke and get out the red pen.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. I've come to the point where whenever I walk into a room that I've got a rug down in, that I, mm-hmm. I just have kind of always braced myself that there's going to be something waiting for me, you know, and yep. I'm making it sound like my cats throw up all the time, but cats throw up.
Cats puke, Mr. Hill.
Yeah. Cat, it's just a thing they do. You know, I find that kind of being braced for it, like, yeah, maybe it's like in aggregate a little bit more stress, but also like, I don't know, I've got a little like stain eraser vacuum thing. Then it's like a Bissell to get it up after you just grab some paper towel and pick it up. It's one of those things, like, you know, say like, oh, when it's your own, like, if yeah. this wasn't a cat that I owned and there was just cat puke on my floor, I would be real bummed out if I went to, 100%. You know, and just like, oh God, I've got to pick it up. It like, you know, ruin my day. But like, just, oh, there's some cat puke there. Well, I better take care of that, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It ends up being an interesting thing in terms of like smelling your own farts and stuff. Yeah. How that ends up being it's an expression for being really up your own ass.
Yeah.
But the accurate thing that happens there is it's just like, oh, this came from me. I'm basically okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean it doesn't stink. Like I'm constantly providing paint peelers to the universe, but mm-hmm. it doesn't bother you nearly as much.
Yeah.
Like if you walk into someone else's bathroom and you smell their shit,
mm-hmm.
very different experience.
Yeah. Well, it's just because, you know, it's not like not necessarily a surprise. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, oh no, I provided it. There's no need for me to deny it. It's just there, as opposed to
yes.
if you got a third party provider, you know, that yeah. gets a little bit more hinky.
Like CenturyLink.
CenturyLink. Come on. I'm not going to pay $60 a month to get four, you know, two megabits up. Come
two
on.
Up, one down. Yeah.
Garbage. Garbage. Yeah. What is this nonsense?
Anywho. Thanks, Eric, for suggesting this. I would like to play this if we can either get it on the schedule or end up with like some bonus mm-hmm. time. So there might be some more Harvester content in the future. It looks neat to me.
Looks neat to me too.
What should people do if they like the show, Cole?
Well, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. There they can back us. They can throw us a few bucks a month and get cool stuff. $5, you get a ton of bonus content. You get two extra episodes of this show per month, the ability to vote on what the topics of those episodes are going to be, or at least the names of those episodes are going to be. You know, whole other shows like Bonfireside Chat and Unfilmable.
Yeah. Yeah.
What else can we do?
We'd appreciate that. Check it out. Mm-hmm. You get them. Listen to them. Range reviews also.
Yes.
Useful.
Yeah. And of course, telling your friends.
Yes.
And until next time, figure out where the bookmark for the thread of endings went and why it went away. I can't find it. At this point, it's too far back for me to get it. So
Umbasa.
Umbasa.